Living for Jesus, He died for us, that they which live must not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died and rose again. Amen. If you would please take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 19 tonight. I told you this morning that this evening's service would be different, and it will be. I am going to be preaching, not a full message, but giving you a challenge this evening to consider children's ministry and, more importantly, a specific aspect of children's ministry. This evening we're considering, and we've been praying about it for a while, the start of a new ministry here at Independent Baptist Church. And, you know, as the Lord allows us to continue reaching the area, to continue reaching out, having more of an influence that He calls us to, I want to obey, you know. We're praying about starting a Christian school. We want to. I believe it's God's will for us. We're going to take the steps, Lord willing. And so I kind of want to consider that this evening, but we'll also be presenting some later. My wife Jennifer, who has a background kind of in education and has received quite a bit of training in this area, she'll be working with me after I preach. She won't be preaching the message. Okay, we're not going to do tag team preachers. But I want you to consider these things. And I know some folks are kind of against. I have heard people that are against churches running Christian schools. They believe a church should not be involved in schooling. They say Christian schools are too costly. I had a man tell me 12 years ago. He said, you just can't do it today. It's impossible. You can't do it. Or you can't do it well. I've had somebody else tell me a Christian school will ruin a church. Or a Christian school brings problems into the church. Well, I got news for you. Sinners bring problems. and sinners need to come to church. Okay, that's not a very good reason. Well, what is the reason we should consider it? Is there a reason? To answer that, we need to look at a philosophy of children's ministry. You're there in Matthew chapter 19. Look at verses 13 through 14, and we'll build this a little bit. It'll take a few minutes to do this. Matthew 19, verses 13 through 14, it says, "Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked him." You know, it's a distraction. He's too important. This is a distraction from ministry. Don't bring these children to Jesus. It takes too much work. They're probably not even vaccinated. I don't know, whatever the... They were not in favor of the children's ministry. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, "Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." He schooled them right there. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. According to the word of God, Christ values children, and the church must seek to reach children if we are to share his vision. That's where I'm at. I just want to preach to you about the value of a child tonight. Let's pray. Lord, help us this evening, that this message and these truths would be received as they are intended. Speak through us, guide us, use us. In your name I pray. Amen. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 14. We'll come back to Matthew, so if you want to mark that, you can. You can find it again. Proverbs chapter 14. I want you to look at verse 4. You know, I preached some time ago, I think it was last year sometime, from this text called The Blessings of a Cluttered Crib. And I like to preach that before we engage in challenging children's ministry like VBS, or as I'm praying about this year, maybe neighborhood Bible time, something that's going to flex the church. The uncomfortable reality is ministry takes investment. Ministry takes investment. Proverbs 14. It says, Proverbs 14, verse 4, it says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox." Now, these are two truths, and each one is no more or less true than the other, but with them they bring different dynamics. You can have a clean crib with no oxen, but you won't have increase. Or you can have increase and an oxen, but then you'll have to do some cleaning too. You know, the thing about a crib that has oxen is it's costly. Oxen are costly. They're not cheap. They have big appetites. They take up space. They require special care, facilities, training, kind of like people. And ministry's costly. You think about the different things. We're going to be voting on our budget this evening after the service in the business meeting, and you'll see the different things that we spent money on this year necessary for ministry to continue. It does take resources. But friend, it is an investment. Fuel, promotional materials, dinners, books, electricity. Nobody complains about the electricity. Or the air condition. It will cost us money, time, energy, our evenings, our schedule. But you know what? Another reality is this. While ministry is costly, every worthwhile goal in life takes investment. You will never achieve something great without sacrifice and investment. That's a reality in this world. So ministry is costly, but it's worth it. It also brings clutter. You know, the clean crib is the one without the oxen. That's what it says. And you don't have to think very long to realize that's true. But without the oxen, there's no increase. A nice church is clean. Amen. We all like clean chairs and clean windows, clean bathrooms and clean floors. But God has not called us just to have clean buildings. You know what he's called us to? He's called us to have increase. Listen to this verse from John chapter 15. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." God ordained you. He made this decision before you were saved that when you get saved, this would be your mission, to bring forth fruit for the cause of Christ. And that your fruit should remain. God's called us to increase. God's desire for his church is to bring forth fruit. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. That's his desire for this church. New births into the family of Christ. You know, a family might grow by adoptions, but God wants his family to grow by new births. Okay? If you come to Independent from another church, praise God. If you came and you're saved already and you haven't been attending church, praise God. But you know what? I want to see some new births. God wants His church to increase. In fact, He told the disciples, He said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He wants the church to continue, and it brings clutter. A church that desires increase is going to have to deal with the clutter. But it also involves a crowd. You saw that somewhat this morning. I don't know how you feel about that, but the crib spoken of here, the one with oxen in it, is going to be crowded by livestock. If you go down to the barn, to the fair this week, and you go work with the, you can go to the livestock barns. My goodness, they're crowded. All right. I don't know if you've ever witnessed the crowding of livestock with animals shoulder to shoulder. You ever see those industrialized barns where they have all the chickens? There's no room, and somebody ought to write a law about that. Chickens need more space, you know. Oh, good grief. I know driving down Highway 64, you can see the dairies, and there's those dairy cows come in shoulder to shoulder, and they're crowded. But you know what? Every single one of those cows represent, they represent milk. They represent produce. They're producing something. And as a church becomes more fruitful, there will be somewhat of a crowd. It may be a small crowd, it may be a large crowd, but it's people. And it's not just that the crowd is a goal to, you know, like, oh, well, we have this many people today. Reaching souls is the goal. And if you're going to reach souls for Christ, those souls will be the crowd. Some people don't like the crowd. They avoid the crowd. They say, I don't want a crowd at church. They go to Walmart and it's crowded. Go to a ball game and it's crowded. You go on the highway. My goodness, it's crowded. Do you know why it's crowded? Because there's people there. We learned this morning that Jesus is his whole purpose. He said in Luke 19:10, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's people. And by the way, heaven is crowded too. So if you have a problem with crowds, we should get over it before we go to heaven. It involves a crowd. Ministry does. It's costly and there is some clutter, but it's all for the cause of Christ. What is the reason all this is necessary? We sung about it earlier. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the world. God has called us to. This world without Christ is lost in sin and going to hell. And God has called us to make a difference. We are to win the lost. We are to disciple the saved, recruit the disciples. We are called to see people born again. We're to be fishers of men, not just keepers of the aquarium, right? This is the aquarium. That's where the men are. So ministry takes investment. And we know that, and we pray about it, but what of children then? You know, what of children's ministry? Is there a place, is there a cause for children's ministry within the church? Is there a special need or a special reason to focus on children? Well, I would say yes. Turn back to Matthew. You were there, Matthew 19. Jesus certainly did. There are some other verses you'll hear later tonight. But in Matthew 19, verse 13, Jesus responded. He said, "Of such is the kingdom of heaven. Suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." You know, to reach children for eternity, the best way, yes, the best way, the ideal way, is to have a mom and dad that love the Lord, actively training their children. That's the best way. I don't know if you grew up in a Christian home. I did. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that I got saved at a young age so that when I have children, they can hear about Jesus before they can speak. That's an awesome thing, a tremendous thing. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The best way is for a mom and dad to love the Lord and to raise their children. A godly home that teaches God's word. In the book of Deuteronomy, God tells his people, Israel, he says, thou shalt teach these things diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. So the best way to raise children so that our children get saved at a young age, learn to serve the Lord, integrate into society, and stay faithful to the church is to have a godly home. It's also to have a good church where the Bible is taught. Mom and dad taking their children to church. That's the best way. I had that benefit. Not every child does. Not only that, but a school environment that works to develop biblical worldviews throughout all subjects. Do you realize that the subjects today, you may not think they're related to religion, but they're being changed by secular humanism. The philosophy of secular humanism twists everything. Everything. Many children don't have a godly father and mother. Many parents, even those who are saved, don't teach God's word in their home. If I was to poll every Christian family and ask how many of you outside of church spend time teaching God's word or having daily devotions, it would be embarrassing. I would never do that. But we ought to think about it. Many believers are not faithful to church, and while they may grow up in church, their children do not. You know, if people say, oh yeah, my mom and dad always took us to church. Are you taking your children? No. There's a disconnect. Even among church-going families, many children attend schools where God's word is not taught or is mocked. And so there's a disconnect between what God desires and the best way. And I believe the church must take on some of this role. We cannot replace the family. We never seek to replace the family. A good Bible church cannot replace a good mom and dad. You understand that? You can't. But you can help in some areas. They got to take it seriously. We need to take children's ministry seriously. Why, Pastor? Well, three reasons. One is this. Children are eternal souls. They are. Children are souls. You know, the next time you think about the cost of children's ministry, remember that those children are worth the investment. Really? How much does God value the souls of people? Is it worth the cost to Him? I would say it is. And He does so differently than we do. He values the soul of each individual person and child. You know, I've had somebody tell me, well, you know, that's a good ministry, but that children's ministry doesn't pay the bills. Not a preacher tell me that. Can I tell you this? That's right. Children's ministries don't pay the bills. But God did not found the church to be worried about paying the bills. Okay? The goal of our church is not to exist to pay the bills. The goal of the church is to invest in eternity. And if we do what we should do, then God will help us pay the bills. All right. The lives of children are of eternal importance. Listen to this scripture verse from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It says, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Do you know that? If that's not just a personal commandment, that's also a ministry commandment. And there are ministries that forget that. It is possible in the ministry of the church to forget that our investment is in the lives of people and not just in buildings or in purchases or in legacy. Sometimes we forget that. Children are eternal souls. They're worth the investment. I think secondly, we need to invest in children's ministry because they're easily influenced. It is far easier to win a child to Christ than it is an adult. The vast majority, by and large, of people that are saved get saved when they're children. If you wait till you're a teenager, that percentage goes down. You wait till you're an adult, it drops off sharply. Now, God can save anyone. But the child's heart is much more tender. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. You know, the devil seeks to influence our children. The world seeks to influence our children, but God has called us to influence. And it's much better to reach a child when they're young, before they create a lot of problems in their lives and they have all the baggage and you have to do all this damage control. You think about all the money spent on prison reform programs. You think about all the money spent on drug addiction programs. Think about all the money that people that, you know, just all the church ministries that are trying to help people salvage their lives. And think about the fact that maybe had we reached them before they made those mistakes. So where would you rather invest? See, God has called us to influence. And when we see children's ministry as a priority, it'll help us to reach those children for Christ. I think thirdly, children have great potential. Great potential. How, Pastor? They're just little guys. Yeah, they have both influence and benefit more than you do sometimes. Really? Yes. Children can reach people you cannot. I have watched hardened people that do not want to talk to me as a pastor, and they will respond to my little Jocelyn. And if she tells them a Bible verse, they won't be ugly to her. They'll stand there and listen to it. You know, homes that might not allow you in will allow a child in who got saved through VBS or through Sunday school. Children have much more life ahead of them than you or I. You think about, you know, children could be helpful in reaching the enemy. Really? Yeah, think about what happened in 2 Kings. A young slave girl who was taken captive in Assyria told Naaman of the prophet who could heal him. Naaman the Assyrian, the general. This girl was taken captive by the enemy. Naaman got healed. God was glorified and God's word was magnified. Reaching the enemy. Providing for our needs. You know, children have tremendous potential for providing for our needs. Well, how is that? Well, Jesus was teaching and preaching and people were hungry, 5,000 of them. Whose lunch did they get? A child's. See, he didn't know any better than to just offer his stuff. You or I would have said, well, this isn't enough. I'm not going to offer it to Jesus. Children don't know any better. And so they just offer what they have. I can tell you stories of answers to prayers that my children have prayed, that other children have prayed, that took care of needs that we had, that we should have been asking. But God answers the prayers of children. Providing for your needs. Providing victory. You know, who was it that slew the giant Goliath and brought victory for the Israelites? Was it a seasoned warrior or was it a young boy? Yeah, victory. A channel of God's blessing. Who did God bring Jesus into this world through? A young girl. That's right. Even a missionary in a foreign land. The man this morning was talking about being called into missions. You know, Daniel, he was a missionary at a young age. Land of Babylon. His faithful testimony, though, ended up bringing God's word to Babylon, bringing Nebuchadnezzar to the Lord. And then 500 years later, these wise men come from Babylon knowing about Jesus. How'd they know that? Well, there was a missionary there 500 years ago. You think about the missed opportunities that children's ministries could have made a difference in. Think about men like Saddam Hussein, Charles Manson, Adolf Hitler, Jeffrey Dahmer. You can go down the list. If these men had been saved and discipled, they wouldn't have done that. You know, the church has different kinds of ministries. Our goal is to win souls and teach converts, our core ministry, and then to help them replicate. And so we carry out different ministries. We have Sunday school. Praise the Lord for that. Those who work in Sunday school, my kids are learning. We have children's church. We have Wednesday PM. We have youth ministry one time per month. And I'm praying about starting a Christian school here. I'm burdened about it. I think it's something we need to do. I'm dedicated to it. And think about this. What is the one place where children will spend the bulk of their day being taught, influenced, and trained? School. And so I would say that Christian school is a good thing. That it's a ministry that a church, if they can, ought to invest in. Now I understand the message this evening is different than normal. But I want you to see the value of children's ministry. And more pointedly, to consider a Christian school ministry. Pray about it. You know, even if as we take these steps, we're going to need you praying with us. I'm going to do something different tonight. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to ask my wife to come, and she's prepared some different information about the Christian school to help you understand how the independent can successfully run a Christian school ministry. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to call for Jennifer to come. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us. Help us to value the souls of children, to be engaged with their lives, to love them, to encourage them, to share you with them, to live out in their lives. And dear Lord, just to be willing to invest. And we'll give you the honor and praise. In your name I pray. Amen. Jennifer, why don't you come?
Well, I hope a lot of you have questions about the Christian school and how we're going to do that. So I hope to answer a few of those to start off with. The first one is going to be, why should we have a Christian school? And Pastor answered a lot of these questions, but practically speaking, why should we have a Christian school? I mean, we all pay taxes, and that goes to public education, and shouldn't that be enough? Well, the truth is that public education is struggling. Now, it's not the fault of a lot of the teachers. There's great teachers out there. In fact, we have some of them in our congregation, and that is their ministry, and they are doing a fantastic job. But a lot of times their hands are tied. They're told what to teach. They're told how to teach it. There's too many students, too few teachers, and a lot of government oversight that probably shouldn't be there. And so the parents are tired of this, and they're pulling their kids out of public school, and they're looking for a place to put their children. And they are willing to drop them off at our doorstep and let us teach them whatever we want to teach them. And that's a tremendous opportunity. We have a plentiful mission field to evangelize. These children are going to be coming in, and even families that wouldn't necessarily go to church, even families that don't believe in God, they're looking for a quality education. And they've realized that a lot of times the Christian schools are the place where they can find that. So they're looking for that. They're going to drop them off. Then, as Pastor said, those little children are going to go home and they're going to tell their parents what they're learning in school. And our school will be teaching Bible for 30 to 45 minutes every day. They will get a Bible lesson. Those first two weeks of every grade and every year, they are taught a clear presentation of the gospel. And so they can take that. And there's been several testimonies of children who have went through Christian schools and go home and reach their parents. And then their parents get saved. And then their grandparents get saved. It is a tremendous mission field that we can take advantage of. This is the verse I had to go with that. Especially verse 5, and whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Pastor touched on the fact that it's easy for a child to believe, and we want to take advantage of that that young age. Secondly, we want to realize that we need to ensure the future of our churches. The pastor mentioned the great influence that school has on our children. From the time they are 5 until they are 18, they are spending 35 hours a week under the influence of school. And as much as we want to believe that school is teaching just reading, writing, and arithmetic, that's not the case. There's a lot of other things being taught in school. We've heard it on the news that some schools are teaching about gender and about the fact that it's okay to have different preferences in your life. And if you're a little boy and want to be a little girl, then that's fine. And they teach those things. And even though, as Pastor said, that our kids in our churches are they're going to church, they grow up in a Christian home, we're still combating a large influence from that public school system. And so we want to make sure that our Christian education teaches something different. We want those 35 hours a week to be able to influence them. We want to be able to teach those things from a Christian worldview. And then thirdly is to change the world. The politicians have realized a long time ago that if you want to mold people into the kind of society that you want them to be, you have to start with the children. And they have been implementing it all over the world. And we're not going to lie, that's exactly what we wanted to do. We want to indoctrinate the next generation, because these are the people that are going to be making our laws. These are the people that are going to be our civil servants. They're going to be our doctors. They're going to be our nursing home staff when we get there. And we want to make sure that they value life as much as we do. So those are the reasons why we want to start a Christian school, because it is a ministry that we can affect a large number of people very easily. So what will we teach? I hope you're asking that question. What are we going to teach in this Christian school? Well, our mission statement, it comes from a passage talking about Jesus, saying that he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And I've taken that as our blueprint for what we want to teach in our Christian school. Firstly, we want to make sure that our students grow in wisdom and stature. It is our goal to teach our students to seek, understand, value, apply, and communicate the necessary truths for a successful life. We want to make sure that they are knowledgeable about the subjects that they're coming to school to learn: math, phonics, history, science, because that's what's going to draw children to our school is a quality traditional education, and that's what we are going to strive to give them. But we also want to make sure that when those students leave our school, when they graduate, that they can pursue whatever that they want to pursue, whether it be higher education. We want to make sure that they're prepared for that. Whether they want to go into a trade school or technical school or whatever they choose to do, we want to make sure that they can succeed in that. Next, we want to make sure they grow in favor with man. We want to aim to produce students who will exhibit those character traits of honesty, integrity, kindness, respect, and responsibility. Have you met people in society today? Do you wish you could teach them these qualities? We hope to do that. And that is part of our goal, to teach them how to sit still and how to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and how to respond, how to be polite. Those are things that we can influence. And then most importantly, we hope to encourage each student to develop a personal, dynamic, and ever closer relationship with the Lord. I said that we're going to be teaching, there's going to be Bible every single day of the week. But also, that's not just in Bible class. There's Bible in the history class, in the science class, in the health class, in the reading class. They memorize scriptures. They read from the Bible in reading class. This is something that encompasses their entire worldview. We want to make sure that they are getting that biblical worldview. That's the most important thing. So how will we do it? You say, well, this sounds like a lot of things, and it's going to take a lot of teachers. It's probably going to take a lot of money, because that's what government keeps telling us. If you want to educate kids, you got to throw more money at it. But it really, for us, it's not going to take that much. There's a great curriculum that we are planning on using that is Christ-centered, like I said. God is throughout the whole thing. And what it is a video school. Now, most of you, I hope that you're familiar with the Becca book, but you might not be. I'll explain it a little bit to you. There is a school in Pensacola that has real teachers in real classrooms with real students, and they stand up and they teach a real day's worth of school, and they have it all recorded on DVDs. And we can get those DVDs for a very reasonable rental rate of $1 for an entire year. For all the discs, $1 per grade. And with those, we can have the students watch the videos and get a quality education from a quality teacher via video. Now, this is what my kids have been doing at home. They each have a little DVD player, and they can put their DVD in, and they can put their headphones on, and they can listen to that teacher. And by doing that, we can have multiple grades in one room through headphones, and those either the individual DVD players or larger DVD players. With that, we plan to have kindergarten through 12th grade all at one time with two teachers, two monitors, who are going to be, that we're going to have with just two monitors, we can do an entire school year. Now, you say that sounds like a lot of work for two teachers, but because each one will have their own separate video teacher, it is completely doable. Now, we're not going to go big. We're not looking at having 100 students or 75 students. We're looking at having between 20 and 30 students. That's all. And that even might be, I would be happy with 14. But we're going to start small, and we're going to be able to do this with just those video monitors, and it should work then. By having a heart for our students. And this is one of the things that is important to me is with a small school, with this program, yes, every student's getting a quality education from a teacher, teaching their grade level, teaching who knows how to teach third grade and fourth grade. But then there's also the teachers that are on site who can work with each student individually. And if that student needs help in reading, they can help them in reading. If they need help in math, they can help them in math. And if they need help in their spiritual life, they're there to help them in their spiritual life. And so we want to have a heart for each of our students to succeed and not just pass them through and let them graduate without being able to know those fundamental truths. So now the most important question I know you're asking, what will it cost the church? this is important because there are, as Pastor said, there are a lot of times when a school ministry can destroy a church ministry, and there can be fighting, and there can be problems, and we don't want to do that. We want to make sure that both are working together, and we want to make sure that even though it is a ministry of our church, that we're not, that the school is not a burden to the church. And because of that, the first question you might want to ask is, will this cost me my pastor? Does this mean my pastor is going to be consumed with this new ministry and not have time for the things of the church? And I will tell you right now, no. The pastor has said that if we were to do this, he still wants to be the pastor. He will not run the Christian school. Though he will be heavily involved in running the Christian school, he wants to be your pastor first and foremost. Second question, or the first thing we will require is facilities. Now, you may have noticed this morning we had 118 people in this building, and that was great. And that was, I think that was a personal record for while we've been here. And you may have noticed it was a little bit hard to park. And if you were here at any of our fellowship dinners, you've noticed it's a little bit tight in the back. And pastors mentioned this. And it is time for our church to grow. It is time for us to expand our facilities. And there is some idea of, well, why do we need to grow? Can't it be just us four and no more? I mean, I like this little church. Isn't it great just the way it is? And I can say this because I'm not the pastor. You have a fantastic pastor who preaches God's word. And if I dare say many of you have grown this year due to his teaching. And for us to say that it should just be us is very selfish. There are other people in this community that want to come here too and hear the godly preaching. And he's probably hating that I'm saying this, but it's true. And so we need to be able to expand our facilities. And in doing that, we would like to buy a unit. We've looked at different options, and we're still in the planning stage, but a unit that will go on our property that will be our schoolroom, but also double as our fellowship hall. We hope to be able to get one that has a full kitchen in it so that we will have a full fellowship hall and classroom. Now, this is something our church has already needed. I think we can agree. And in that, we're going to have to do a few renovations to our property. We're going to have to put a retention pond in. That's what you have to do. We're going to have to update our parking lot. We're going to have to do that anyway. So really, having the Christian school is nothing more than what we were already intending on doing as a church. We're just going to be able to use the facilities for both. We will need some donations. You're probably asking, well, what is this going to cost? This seems really expensive. I told you that the DVDs were only $1. With looking at everything that we want to do, we have decided that by charging our students $250 a month per child, that we can provide them with this curriculum and with the two teachers and still pay for our supplies and our electricity and our insurance. Now, that's a lot less than a lot of the daycares and things. That's a very reasonable price. If you don't know what the prices are, that's a very reasonable price. It's $250 per student per month. And with that, we should be able to cover all the costs of the school as far as the curriculum, and they will pay for all of that, the students themselves. What the church will have, their obligation is just really the use of the facilities and maybe some donations here and there to maybe get the school started, but we're not going to make it a big financial burden on the church. It's not going to be a 1,000-line addendum on our budget. It's going to be relatively a low cost to the church. And then, of course, by your prayers. Can I tell you already tonight, our live stream has been doing things that it never does before? Because Satan is going to battle us every step of the way. I believe he will. And already tonight, I've already seen that. When I tried to turn on the live stream, it wouldn't work. When I tried it again, it worked, but it wouldn't connect the audio. We are seeing the fact that that Satan doesn't want this to happen. So we need prayer. And I fully understand that this is not an easy endeavor. In fact, that answers my next question, is this God's will? When I started college, I had an idea that I was going to go out and serve the Lord, and I was going to be on the mission field somewhere in a mud hut teaching some people about the Lord. Christian school was never something I considered. In fact, when I signed up for my missions classes, they made me sign up for teaching classes. And I sat through Philosophy of Christian Education, Materials and Methods of Education, Teaching Phonics, Teaching Reading, all of these classes, and I said, Lord, I am never going to use this. Why am I in these classes? And then after I graduated, I had a child. And that child turned 5, and he needed to be taught stuff. And I found myself right back there with those special sounds that I had to learn. K and duck, CK. I had to do it again. And then there's a Christian school that opened a few in our town close by where we lived. And so we put him in the Christian school, and we were really excited because this was, I didn't have to teach school anymore. That lasted 2 months. And then I was back teaching school in this Christian school, cutting duck, CK. I had to do it all over again. I've taught first grade with this curriculum 5 times, and I'm never going to get away from cutting duck, CK. And so we ended up back homeschooling. And when there was that Christian school that I taught at, they closed down, and they gave us all of our church. They gave us their DVDs, the big screen TVs that they would need. They gave us desks. They gave us books. They gave us all of these things so that we could start a Christian school. And Pastor said, I think it's time that the Lord wants us to start a Christian school. And I said, couldn't duck, CK. I know it's God's will. I know it is. It's one of those moments when you go, Lord, what are you doing? And then it all just kind of falls into place, and you go, oh, that's what you were doing. Okay. I know it's going to be hard work, and that's why I say it that way, because I know it's going to be a lot of hard work. But I think this is what the Lord would have us to do. Is there any questions? There should be some question about how and what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. Anybody have a question? Yes, ma'am. You want to know who they are? Oh, well, I'm going to be teaching the kindergarten through sixth grade because I know cut and duck, CK. I am very familiar with the elementary side. I've taught all of the grades. I've monitored all the grades on the elementary side from kindergarten to sixth grade. I've done them all. And for our high school teacher, Kim Barak, she's had one of those aha moments too. She taught Christian school with this same curriculum. She's taught the high school years. So the Lord kind of brought her here and then prepared their family. And I'll let her tell you the testimony of how the Lord has kind of brought her to this position. But it's really worked out that the Lord has done it. So we have 2 actual experienced teachers. Qualified? I don't know. I'm going to try my best. Any other questions? Oh, Miss Carol. Well, thankfully, in Florida, we have great freedom as far as how we can educate our students. Now, there are some accreditation programs that we can pursue in the future, and we are going to look into pursuing them in the future. But as far as the first year, the accreditation, we're not going to pursue. But the education they will receive will still be able to transfer. They'll be able to transfer their credits to any other school if they choose to leave. Pastor Pash, oh, you could just give me advice. Thank you, Brother Pash. They taught a 2-room schoolhouse, so I'm going to be calling up. And how do we? Yes. Mhm. Yeah. And there are other Christian schools in our area, and we're not looking to replace them. We're just looking to be another option because those schools are filling up really quickly. Yes, ma'am, Ms. Janice. Monica, sorry. Well, the first step that we will be voting on tonight will be setting up a name to be under.
Register with the state so that we can then register with the Florida state, with the Florida Department of Education. That's something the church has to vote on. And then the next thing to vote on, we'll begin starting to spend money. I'm meeting with the engineer tomorrow. We will be filing that paperwork probably tomorrow, and then begin rolling it out. And we're not sure how long it will take. The guy, when I talked to him, he kind of chuckled, and he's an engineer. He said, "Well, these things can take months." And I said, "Well, I'm praying that it doesn't." And because the government can drag their feet when it comes to permitting and all that sort of thing. It's new to us. This property has not been actively built on for 40-some years. And so the county's going to be looking at it. But with God, all things are possible. We want to see what God will allow us to do. We're going to go, as I said, Lord willing, with the church behind us, go as far as the Lord will allow us. So does that kind of answer the question? We will plan to.
There's just a couple differences because we will take some time off for revival. So we'll take revival week off. But mostly the same calendar. Stephanie had a question. It is a high quality of education, and we want to maintain a high quality of education. And that brings up a good point. When we have students coming in from the public school, my son asked me that today, if we're going to put them back in a previous grade. And I want to work as hard as I can not to do that. I want to help them to catch up, and I don't know how able I will be able to do that, but I want to at least attempt to do that so that we don't have kids coming in and going back. Yes, Ms. Vita. For right now, and really what it comes down to is to pay these lovely people that we would love to hire, we would need more students. And the more students you have, the more people you have. So right now, with just the two of us, and I won't actually, yeah.
Yes.
And we're meeting with our Abeka rep on Wednesday to help us get through the state requirements and to help us get our curriculum set up.
Let me add something real quick.
Go ahead.
We're meeting with a gentleman from an Abeka Book representative who works with Christian schools on Wednesday. Their sole job is to help Christian schools get set up, to help them be connected with the Florida Department of Education, to help them comply with all the necessary regulations. They know the people in charge in this area, the superintendent of schools, and so those things, he's kind of our liaison who will then help us and walk us through that process.
Kim had a question.
Help them
I did have a, if there was no more questions, I did have a short video of one of the classes, so you can just kind of see what it looks like just for about 2 minutes. You can see what the kids are actually looking at. Oh, come on. It'd be fine. Okay, this is
one time equals 2,000 pounds. 1 pound equals 8 fluid ounces.
Well, let's take a look at some of these other things that I want to take a look at. Let's multiply some of these. Let's multiply by 10 or divide by 10. Multiply by 10 for me, please.
50, 100, 30, 20.
Divide it by 10.
0.6.
0.0, you know, okay.
0.8.
Divide by 100.
0.12.
Good.
0.10.
Now, don't get ahead of me. Can I get rid of that zero at the end at point? Yes, I can, because and not affect the value.
0.07.
Divide by 1,000.
0.009. 0.004. 0.005.
Can't fool you. Ratios and proportions. A ratio is a relationship between two numbers. If I've got 5 pencils to 9 students, I can express that 3 different ways. I can say 5/9. That's a ratio. I can say 5/9. That's a ratio, a relationship.
A real classroom, real teacher, real students, and the, our video students just get to experience that.
I don't want to keep you here all night. We want to go ahead and close up the service. If you have other questions, please let us know. And I wanted to have a word of prayer, and then we'll call our business meeting to order. As we've done in the past, you, if you're family but not a member, you're welcome to stay but not
vote. Okay. We love you, but if you, if you'd like to excuse yourself after we start, after we end the service, before our business meeting, you can do that too. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this evening. And I thank you for each one that's here. Please help us, Lord, as we endeavor just to honor you, to obey you. And, dear Lord, I just pray that you'd guide us. We need your help. Help us as we endeavor to reach young people for Christ. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. Brother Goodwin, I need you to hand out the ballots, please. No, I announced it. No. It's here.